What's happened in our modern day, we got away from the reading, but I used to read those preachers, men like, and I know you've probably heard of R.A. Torrey. He's tremendous, and he's got a book on the Holy Spirit that'll, I mean, he's deep and help you if you could read it. But men like him, and sometimes Spurgeon, and sometimes Sunday, I don't know about Sunday, but I knew, Moody. D.L. Moody. They would use the RV version, which came out in 1902 or somewhere along there. And men like that, if they knew what it, that done when they started using that and what it would do to our country, I do not believe that they'd feel very comfortable. And so we've seen things happen. Things have changed. And so I don't apologize this morning for holding to the King James Bible. You call me a nut if you want to. But it's done good for me. It's helped me. I am what I am today by the grace of God in the King James Bible. Amen. You said you added the scripture. No, I didn't. Amen. It is because of the Bible. And I believe the Word of God is inspired. I believe this book is inspired of God. I believe all scripture, not part of it, but all scripture, according to my Bible, is inspired of God. Amen. So now let's read in Psalms chapter 12. Let's stand. I want you to stand with me. Only got 8 verses. We'll read it together. And I'm going to take my time because I'm not going to get through anyhow. Notice the first word, and this is what I say way of the way America is. Help! Amen. Isn't that amazing? Help who? Lord. Help, Lord. David come along and said, I lift my eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help? My help cometh from thee, Lord, which made heaven and earth. Help, Lord. Notice the phrase, for the godly man ceaseth. We are seeing that in our day. The godly man or woman today is fewer than it's ever been. It's hard to find godly men and women. There are few and far between. Now, some folks talk about how godly America is. Amen. I'll give you some of the thoughts about that in just a minute. Then he said, for the faithful man, or for the faithful from among the children of men. So he said, help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful man, he's failing among the children of men. We need some help, don't we? Yeah. All right, verse 2 said, they speak vanity. Vanity is that which is not serious, not worth anything. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Here I look at this, it's the lost and the saved. All together. The godly man ceaseth, and those who are faithful are failing. The Bible said in verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and a tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? Who is the Lord over us? In other words, we're going to straighten out everything ourselves. We don't need God. That's what the world says. They got the answers to the problems and don't realize that they are the problem. The Bible said in verse number 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. I love this verse. Go back, read it with me again. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. God says, I'm going to get up and do something about it. And it's not because I'm going to get up and help the dignified, the wealthy, the flattering lips and the lying tongues. God said, I'm going to get up and help those this morning who are oppressed and poor and sighing and needy. God said, I'm going to help them that can't help themselves. Amen. These others done took it over. And he said, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. They've been talking about us, but God said, I'm on your side. I'll stay with you. Are you with me this morning? The world don't like the church. It despises the church. It hates the word of God. It hates everything that stands for God. But God said, I'll stay with you, you stay with me. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, he's going to tell you how he's going to do it. The words of the Lord are pure words. I love that. Pure. And I want you to look at this threefold outline. Amen. And if you'll look at it, he said, the words of the Lord are pure words. He said, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Now notice the second one, purified seven times. That's significant. God shows us something there. We all deal with some of that today. Verse 7 said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God says the words of God are pure words, purified words, and preserved words. There's your outline. Amen. That's your alliterated outline. I'm not an alliterated preacher, but some preachers can't preach unless they can put something starts the same letter in every sermon. But in verse number 8 said, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And that's right. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Isn't that what's happened in America? The wicked have been exalted, and guess what they're doing? They're walking wicked on every side. You can be seated. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just be back in the house of God. Lord, we feel like just crawling down the aisle, kissing every pew. Lord, we certainly want to raise our hands to heaven this morning and say thank you for the privilege of an open door to be at the house of God. Thank you for one more time. Lord, we know the devil don't like it. The world don't even like it. Religious folks don't even like it. But Lord, we know today that we belong here. And this is where we get our strength and energy. Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege to do so. And we give you the praise and the glory. Touch us now. Anoint our lips to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to look at some things this morning. I pray that it will be a blessing, a help, a strength, an encouragement, a challenge to you. There right now, and I mentioned this a few times to some of you, I got to looking, kind of checked it out, and I asked on Google how many... and I use that sometimes in heaven, but I don't listen to everything Google got to say. But I made a question. What are the top Bibles in America? Which one sell the most? And I actually asked Google something that Google, you know, keeps up with, but they're stupid. I just believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Bibles. Now, we've got Bibles in here, but they're all one, I hope. If it ain't, I got some literature I could put it with today and help you out. Amen. I believe everybody's got a King James Bible in here. At least, I won't assume, man, if you don't tell me. Mess my lunch up. But I got to looking at the first ones that sold them, and I went to more than one place, and I got to answer, and it all come out the same. They keep up the, you know, I don't know how they know which one sells the most, I guess, the way they collect all the money and go from the printers and all that. But for years and years and years, I mean years and years and years, I mean years and years and years of my preaching, I was able to say that the King James Bible is the number one Bible sold in America. But I can't say that anymore. You know what they buy the most? That one, I call it the not inspired version. The NIV. The second one is the King James Inspired Bible. Now, you won't write these down. You can probably remember them first two. But I'll give you the others. Number three is the NLT version. So, what in the world? That's called the New Living, amen, Bible. Amen. The new, and you know who uses it the most? Jehovah's Witnesses. Isn't it amazing that they're so close to taking over the second place and putting the King James in the third place? And if we live long enough and the rapture don't take soon, we'll probably see that. Or some will. I may outstrip it. That's one of those things you'd be glad to be gone off of. Then number four is the ESV translation. And that stands for English Standard Version, or English Standard Translation. And number five, which I was shocked, was the New King James Version. I thought it would be up there close to the King James, but it leans too much to the King James, and it's as rotten as the NIV. He said, I want to hear all that. I do. I want you to hear it. Amen. I'm going to be off the scene, dead and gone, pushing up daisies and shouting it out in glory. And I hope when you go to buy a Bible, you're going to look on the shelf and say, hey, I remember that old preacher stood in that pulpit and he said he was a King James man, so we got to have a King James Bible. And you'll have to go to the counter and say, do you not have a King James Bible? They said, yeah, we keep them down here under the counter. They do that now. And you look at it and you say, boy, that's a dull looking book. Ain't pretty. You ought to have been over where I was looking a while ago with the NIV, and it had superstars on the cover. Roses and flowers and bees and buzzards. I mean, we don't put no buzzards, but birds. It sure was pretty. This old King James is dull. Now, don't you think the devil knows? Listen, he really working on that. Especially when it's your favorite football player or your favorite baseball player. Or your favorite person in the world, and it's a picture of them, or somebody reminds you of mama. And you're going to buy an old dead, dull, red, black, or blue, King James, solid colored. Any of you got a Bible? A King James Bible's got a pretty cover on it. Anybody? You got a pretty cover on it? Oh, that's dull. Ain't got no. What's yours got on it? That's normal. People don't want no cross. Yours, what's it got?
It's at home, but it has flowers and historical.
Oh, that's closer. Amen. But there's not many of them. What's yours got?
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, King James is a little. When there's translated, not translated, but when the NIV stuff, they had to try to keep up with the times. Did you know that the only Bible that I can write? The only Bible that I can print, and I'm not talking about changing it. The only Bible that I can put in my literature and not have to worry about a copyright is the King James Bible. That's the reason they got all this. They want money, money, money. They don't care where it's the Word of God or not. They done got people to recognize it. Amen. Well, I don't know if anybody's seen this or not in the news, but I didn't see it. I did see a clip of it. The reason I know what I'm talking about. But last weekend, Portland, Oregon, they was burning flags and Bibles. When America allowed somebody to burn the flag of the United States of America, the first one that done it should have been lined up on the wall and shot.
Amen. That's right.
Now, I'm not for holding to the flag all that much, but it is a symbol of America.
Amen.
Now, if you go to China, you go to Russia, you go to South America somewhere, you go to Iran and burn their flag. Dance in the street. You'll find out before daylight or before sun sets, your dates and days are over. And you won't burn nobody else's flag. But we've let everybody and his brother move into the United States of America that have been taught violence and hatred and turmoil since they're come out of the cradle. And they've been taught to kill one another, have no respect for human life. And you let them take over in America, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to have a problem like we've got. Yep. Now, somebody said they burned Bibles. So then I done a little research on that. And I saw a Portland, Oregon with a fire. And I said, I don't look like a no Bible. I don't know whether that's a Bible or not. So I look at another and I see it. It don't look like an old Bible there either. I mean, they're burning something. I did see them burning a flag. So I look at another and there was one that had zeroed in on it. And laying in the fire, it said, Holy Bible. So they burned it. The next thing is, I wanted to know what kind it was. I know it wasn't a Koran. They wouldn't burn that. I mean, they like to kill somebody over yonder one time for flushing one of them down the toilet. So they wouldn't let you burn that in America. Wouldn't even let you burn the Koran in America. But they'll let you burn a Bible. Now don't get crazy on me this morning and think like that little fella did. He didn't have his marbles, wasn't all stacked good in his head. Always loved him, but I said to him about you need to make sure you're carrying a King James Bible. He said, oh, I do. See? He says, mine on the front. And his did. He said, Holy Bible. Mine's on the side. He said, Holy Bible. I said, that don't mean it's King James. He said, it does. If it says Holy Bible, it's King James. I said, no, sir. You got to look on the inside. He didn't know that. So I don't know where they burnt something else. If they burnt something else, I'm going to retract to some of the stuff I said, but they ought not burn them out in public. Just go ahead and burn them somewhere. Yeah. Ship them over here. I'll cut them up in pieces. I'll scatter their Bibles. Little bitty pieces of paper. Yeah. But you with me this morning? I'm looking. That's where we're at today. And then I looked a little further as I was looking at that, and next thing it said, sometime in the days past, they beheaded a statue of Jesus in Florida. Anybody hear of that? Yeah. Raise your hand if you did. Hey, amen. I want everybody to know I ain't lying. Telling the truth. I mean, behead a statue of Jesus in Florida. I don't know who done it, but he ought to pew. Amen. That's why it's we are where we are. And we look at it. I just appreciate the Lord and his word. A few years ago I heard a preacher by the name of Billy Kelly. How many has ever heard of Billy Kelly? Billy Kelly said when he died, he was 450 pounds. That's about where he weighed, right? And he said when he swings wide the gate, it said it better be a wide one. But Billy Kelly said that he had seen a picture. I don't usually mention things that other preachers said because I don't know it for sure, but I do believe this probably happened. That's back when communism was trying to take over and get its toehold in America. And you remember Khrushchev said, well, I'll take America without firing a shot. You may have never heard that or forgot it, hadn't you? But he did. He said, I'll take America without firing a shot. You know who the prominent figure is getting to be in the religious world today? Not the Pope. Of course, he's more powerful than this one. But I'll tell you, somebody's rising fast. It's Putin in Russia. He's the bear that's rising up. He's waking up because we're living close to the last days. And they're going to move down from the north. You're already seeing a little movement of him in Lebanon and what is it, Syria, isn't it? Some of them little countries tangling up with Iran. Russia ain't big enough to take over Israel. Iran's not big enough to take over Israel. Iraq's not big enough to take over Israel. And I got news for you. Iran, Iraq, and Russia ain't able to take it. But they think he can. And they're going to come down and try to take over Israel. But Billy Kelly said that he'd seen a picture of a Russian man pushing a person who they were calling Jesus in a wheelbarrow. And he was taking him down to the dumpster, to the dump place. And the communist says, "You don't need Jesus. We'll take care of you. You don't need Jesus. We'll take care of you. He's not able to help you, but we can help you." And the man was fixing to dump him in the... This is what was on the picture. And that's what communism teaches. Now, we don't want communism in America. Most folks don't want communism in America. So they got a little smoother term for it today called socialism. Huh? Yeah. Can you imagine that? Did anybody see this in the news this week? Now, I don't watch news as much as I used to. And it's so much better for me. I feel so much better when I'm isolated from the world. Hey, amen. That old house gets lonesome sometimes. But I can say hallelujah. Praise God. And when I get lonesome, I just reach over there and turn the volume up a little louder. Amen. My sheetrock's going to start falling off the walls. Amen. But on the news, who was it? I'm trying to think of the company. Some big company. They said you can't come to work. Huh? Goodyear. Yeah, the president was talking about Goodyear. Said you can't come to work with anything for Trump. Keep America great. Make America great. Amen. Huh? Yeah, couldn't wear anything with Blue Lives Matter. But you could come to work with Black Lives Matter on your shirt because we don't want to be controversial. And I thought, you idiot. Goodyear, do you not have... I'd fire the CEO.
Amen.
Get him out of there. Matter of fact, you ought not never buy another Goodyear tire or anything that's got Goodyear on.
Do away with it.
Huh?
Do away with it.
That's right. Put them out of business. If they didn't want to be controversial, what they already got up and said, everybody wear plain clothes, no things on it. We're not going to get involved on either side. And they taught all us at church, you know, to do that. We compromise. Well, we've come to the place where our country's where it's at. Because of those things right there. Look at chapter 12. I got the introduction out of the way, so I'll give you a point or two of this. Now you know why we come a little early. No, really, I thought if we come early and I got to preach and got through sooner, you'd get out of here. You'd feel better. But now I don't pay no attention to time when I come. Psalms chapter 12 and verse number 6. Ain't you glad you came today?
Amen.
Don't you feel better?
Yeah.
This should help you and encourage you already a little bit to know how that this stuff is playing together. I want you to know the devil has got us in a snare.
Yeah.
He don't care for you. He don't care for the church. And he's getting us to think the same thing. But you need this place. I've heard people say, boy, they need me over there. Had a fella come to church here, it would have been several years back. He's a preacher. And his wife came in. The reason he didn't stay is we had them little things stuck in the wall to make the church smell a little better. And somehow she had a problem with that. And he said, said that we'll come to that church and we'll be a member of that church if you'll pull them things out of the wall. Well, now, you just start talking to me like that, and son, I'll just say go on down the road because you're looking for something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And Ben, now I just said, get you a mask. Amen. Get you some, what is it, old sponge stuff, stick up your nose till we get out of here. And he went out that day. He said, if you'll take them things out of the wall, me and my wife, said, because you need me. He said, you know I'm a preacher. I can teach. I have been a deacon, so I can be a deacon. And he said, you need my tithes. And I went down to the store and bought me four or five more of them things and stuck them in the wall. I actually didn't, but I thought about it. You tell me you need here, and I'm going to tell you there's something wrong with you. I don't need the church. I don't need... The church don't need me, but I need the church. This church would go right on. Amen. You read an obituary tomorrow and said, he's gone. He said, boy, what are we going to do with the church? Why ain't it go right on? I hope I've taught you enough. Amen. And if it don't do no good now, it ain't going to do no good then. Of course, I know out of 50 years, I'd talk to them blue in the face, tell people what's right, and they just go right on doing what's wrong.
Yep.
Don't pay a bit of attention to me. And that ain't going to change. And it ain't because it's me. It's somebody else does it the same way. People don't want to hear the word. But I want to tell you, brother, you say you need that the church needs you. You got a problem. We all need this church. This is where we get our spiritual bread. And butter. The fellow said, this is, amen, this puts the ham on your biscuit. Amen. And the pepper in your gumbo. I got to hear a preacher say that a lot. And I thought, hey, that's right. The church is what's going to help you, strengthen you, encourage you. It's the pillar and ground of truth. And brother, you can hold on to the things that you get at the house of God. But the Bible said the words of the Lord are pure words. I'll touch on this in just a little bit and I'll come back and start it again. And pick up here. Pure words. If you was standing up somewhere and got thirsty and said, go get me a drink of water, and they brought you a little glass of water and it was dingy and yelling, looked like stuff afloating in it, would you drink it? If you did, you'd be very thirsty. Wouldn't be long, probably be very dead. But when you drink water, you want pure water. Pure means no chemicals, nothing in it. But by the way, you can have a glass of water that's not pure, but looks pure. You can have something in it that you can't see. That's what these perverted Bibles do. They look good, but they're not pure. Pure means there's no errors. There's no problems with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Of course, I know some of you in here, if I had four bottles of Coca-Cola and one bottle of water and told you to get four of them, you'd leave the water. I see, we was at the funeral last Sunday. And the funeral director, the lady, she said, we was walking away and they brought me a cup of mineral, a bottle of water. And I said, thank you. And she said, I hate water. And I said, yeah, most folks do. But it is what God gives us. Quench your thirst.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, that's where this message come from, really. I got to thinking, I had a lot of people, they hate the King James Bible. Amen. They'd rather have the Coke and the Pepsi and... Amen. They don't want the pure Word of God. Are we living there, aren't we? But God said, my Word is pure. He said, the words of the Lord are pure words. And he makes something, an analogy to kind of go along with it. As silver tried in a furnace of earth. God said, this book is pure like silver tried in the earth, in the fire. You know what you do to silver? You get it hot and you melt it. And the impurities come to the top and you get off those impurities. And you got to get it a certain temperature, it'll never work. You dip off those impurities and pour them away. And you let it, and more impurities come to the top. And after a while, there'll be nothing else coming to the top. It takes a long time. And it takes a hot fire. And I want to tell you, God's Word has been tried. It's been tried as silver. Amen. In the furnace of the earth. Amen. And he goes on to say, purified seven times. That little part of the scripture used to bother me. But when you leave today, look on the right hand side up on the wall. That'll explain that to you. See, the King James Bible was not the first English Bible that we had. They had several. But the King James, by the way, happens to be number seven. Seven's God's perfect number. Somebody said, I carry the old 1611 King James. I try to refrain from that. I just tell people I'm a King James preacher. Because actually the Bible that you carry today is not a 1611. I brought a 1611 to church here a time or two. It's hard to read. Yeah. The words are hard. Like L-O-U-V-E stands for love. And it's like that all the way through it. So when they made it in 1611, they brought it the English of the day. And then it had been redone and redone till in 1769, they come up with what we've got now. And so you're carrying a 1769, but I don't get out in public and say, yeah, I'm a 1769 King James man. Why, they'll throw rocks at me. I thought you was a King James preacher. And I say, I am. Then I stand for the King James 1611. I said, what do you tote? He said, King James 1611. I look at it and it reads just like mine does. I said, no. You got the 1769, it's been purified. Amen. And it wasn't, they changed the rendering of the words, not changed the meaning of them, but they changed the spelling of the words to where I can understand and read. That's what an English Bible is. God has given us a Bible. That's pure. Purified. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit right there because I done got off and purified and left pure alone for a minute. And I want to get back to that. And then we do know the number three is preserved. Because I want to come back and talk about it. It's not only pure, purified, preserved, perfect, powerful, plain, personal, present, penetrating, and precious. And some more here I can give you. I got scripture for every one of those. I'll tell you one thing that it is not today. It's not practiced. I say it's not preached and proclaimed like it ought to be. I'm talking about the King James. It's not praised like it ought to be. And it's not popular like it should be. There's the pros and the cons. And I can give you some more of that, but it's going to be a while. At least a week anyhow, ain't it? Amen. That help you any? Thank God, I like to take my Bible and I do this at times. I just get my Bible up and sit there. Listen to them singing and a shouting and a praising God and preaching. And I just hug it up and I say, thank you, Lord. Me and this old book has a good time. Amen. Amen. What a Bible. I want it close around me. Amen. I was cleaning up stuff in my old stuff in one of my rooms. I went in and found some things. I found a bunch of little Bibles. Little bitty Bibles. Old Bibles. People's given me down through the years. And I got some big Bibles too, but they take up a little bit more space. And I went in there in one of my rooms in my bedroom and I put them little old Bibles all over the table. And my daughter came in and I said, what's it? I said, and I guess she thought I was an idiot, but I got Bibles, five or six of them right there on that little end table. You say, you ever read them? No. This reminds me of the Word, how precious it is. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Heads bowed for a moment. Come, the instruments are going to, and I want to give a little invitation. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His goodness.